go for the Brotherhood. We're going to make plays. We're going to play hard. We're going to do what we got to do. O-line, D-line, toughness, 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 toughness.
Hey, Buckeye Nation. Welcome to the Buckeye Cast, your only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. These guys were born and bred in the Buckeye State, and they like to talk Buckeye football and drink bourbon. Subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. Now, pour a drink and pull up a stool. Here's your host, Joe Warwick.
What is up? We are back. We are back, baby. We're coming at you hot. I think everybody's got a spur up their ass tonight. And we're talking team wins tonight. Jeff has a circus in the background. That's okay. We're going to fight right through it. We're talking team wins for the top 10. And we're going to do a few Big Ten teams. First of all, though, we'll talk a little early notes about fall camp and things we're hearing and things that stood out to us when they had the media interviews and shit like that. As always, like the man said in the fucking intro, this is the only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. Please like, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. I will read your reviews on the show. So if you want to be heard, make yourself heard.
My favorite segment, by the way. My favorite segment.
Yeah. Hit the supply store. We got free shipping going on right now. Get ready for the fucking football season. Free shipping. And
we got two Fs.
Yeah. And we're going to jump into some bourbon talk real quick. You guys got something on the bourbon tip?
Jeff? Just finishing off my bottle of that Turkey Rare Barrel. That's, like I said, I'm working through it.
Just
nothing spectacular.
Head down, plowing through it, huh?
Yeah, just getting through it.
Yeah, kind of like a fat girl.
Yeah, you know, job's got to get done. Get it over with.
Yeah, it's fucking.
But if you're
going to
do something, do it right. If you're going to do it right. God damn it!
Just to achieve the mission.
Yep. We're doing it right. We're doing it right. We're fighting a good fight out here.
Sean, what you got going on?
I just had the other night at an establishment. I had some type of Knob Creek. I'm not sure which one it was. They had about, they didn't really have a good list that you could see. So they had about 20 bottles of Knob. I said, well, you got that, so give me that. But whatever it was decent. Nice. I don't know if you get into the Knob Creek much, but.
I've dipped a long time ago. Not a huge
fan. It's popular in restaurants. It's always available in restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely in restaurants. I'm not a big fan, honestly. It's pretty kind of boring to taste, honestly. But I just got a sixer of Buffalo yesterday, one bottle down, as most shipments arrive damaged. Hopefully that's going to be replaced. But yeah, a nice sixer of Buffalo will last me quite a while. After shipping, it came out to like $26 a bottle, which apparently Buffalo.
That seems like a steal of the century, man.
Well, yeah, I mean,
people in Atlanta can't even get it.
You can't get it over there in Orlando. You can't get it up in Atlanta, even, and they're like two states away from fucking Kentucky. For Christ's sake,
I know. I will drive 2.5 hours to your spot just to buy bottles off of you. I'm telling you, with your supply, you could open up a secondary market.
I thought about it. I might. Things get a little tight around here.
Things get dicey. Hey, you got to get out of jail free card, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you, that closet of yours, that stowaway you have.
Yeah, it's a second floor liquor store is what I call it.
Yeah, Sean, you got to see this little get-up he's got going. You got to see his spot. He's got a little tuck-away spot for his fucking treasures.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Never know. So
never know.
Yeah, so I got the sixer of Buffalo Trace this week and one broken bottle. So already on the horn to the supplier to make that right. But anyways, guys, have you seen any of the media availability for this past week during camp, now that it's opened up? You guys see anything from Ryan Day or Kerry Combs the other night? Anybody
been listening? I haven't watched any video.
No, there's not anything that really excited me either. It's just like the coach speak. Everyone's excited. You know, they flash a couple names here and there. This kid's worked hard, right. Looking good, but okay. I don't know. Regular first week of camp.
Well, I got a couple things that I wrote down. CJ Stroud said he put on 20 pounds of muscle in the off season. He's up to like 218. He's hitting PRs on the bench and squat. So, like to see that getting stronger. Keep in mind, none of these quarterbacks in the room right now are 20 years old yet. They're all teenagers still, technically.
Yeah, right.
So, or have thrown a college pass.
What? I can't hear you.
And none of them have thrown a college football either.
Yeah, somebody might have mentioned that once. Yeah, I might have heard that once.
It's a rumor. It's a rumor going around campus. I know. I don't think any of them have thrown a pass yet. And there's going to be a fourth one joining.
Has he thrown a college pass yet, Jeff?
That's just what I've heard. No, I think the early indication is no that.
Confirm.
Thank you.
Ryan Day also said that Tyler Friday is going to miss the entire season with an undisclosed injury.
That sucks.
So depth sucks. There is going to be hurt a little bit. Fortunately, we do have some quality freshmen. By quality, I mean fucking five-star freshmen to come in and take his place.
But I think five-star, I mean, you can be a five-star recruit and be highly touted. But these guys are five-star talent that is, big-time play ready, guys. Like, exactly. A lot of guys can be, a five-star recruit and come in and maybe some even five-stars even redshirt in some situations, right? But no, these guys could be five-star kids out of high school, but impact available immediately. Like they will, barring injury, of course, with anybody, they will both make an impact this year. In the packages and the subbing, we're going to run 6-7 guys out of the D-line, as you know, which we do for every year. They're both going to make impact. I mean, they're game-ready, elite level ready.
It will be interesting to see who cracks the 2-deep first.
That is a scary problem.
Oh, that's Jack Sawyer. That's Jack Sawyer all day. I don't think Tyler Friday's injury, either way, I don't think his injury disrupts anything Jack Sawyer's route, whatever his route is.
What are you saying, Sean?
I think
it's a huge blow to the depth of that. Tyler was going to be one of the four. And then your 5-6 to me were JT and Sawyer. And I think you're gonna rely on those guys, and they're going to be absolute studs. They're both probably going to be first-round picks. But, again, having them – JT's been on the campus for a cup of coffee, and Sawyer, I guess he's been there for spring. But, I mean, are these guys going to be immediate, being able to handle left guards or left tackles and things like that?
Yeah.
Going up against this type of stuff.
I get you. That means – so you're saying that, like, Sawyer and JTT are getting kind of thrust maybe into the lineup a little sooner than had
– I am because I am – you know the way Johnson likes to rotate those guys in and out. And, Friday was going to be a huge part of that, especially early on, because you've got a massive O-line that you're playing the very first week in Minnesota. I mean, these guys are huge. And we'll see if we get any push and can get skinny and get by them, but the first 2 weeks are going to be really big, and I think that's a big loss right now. I wish you well, and fucking let's go, JT and Sawyer, man. We need some help now.
Yeah. Getting skinny, never a problem for you, that's for sure.
You got to get skinny through them gaps, man.
Yeah, exactly. So... yeah, I thought that was interesting, and really just I saw this has to stand out to you guys too, but Mayan Williams is working as a first rep, the first guy in reps, ahead of Master Teague.
I mean, are you surprised by that?
I actually am
because he had 10 carries on the entire season.
I don't have an issue with it, nor am I. I'm not really surprised. Well, for the reason, Joe, I think they just saw that, okay, he's gotten to that level that we need him to be at. Of course he's good better at Teague. He just, you know, he's a better option than Teague. He just needed to get to that level that they could trust him. I think he showed enough. He showed enough last year to trust, to make him trust him.
We only played 7 games last year, right? Before the playoffs, and we were riding Trey Sermon pretty hard at that time. Do you think that Master Teague was our number 2 there at the end of the season? I felt like it was already Mayan Williams. I already felt like he maybe overtook Teague on that depth chart. So to me, I'm not surprised at all, and I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Henderson jumps them both.
I definitely agree with your second point that Trevion jumps both of them, but I definitely don't agree with Mayan Williams being the number 1 at any point last year.
No, I didn't say that. I said he was Trey Sermon was, but I think Mayan Williams was the clear-cut number 2 there at the end.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I guess if Teague was injured, then yeah. If there was an injury issue in that Clemson game, and that's why Mayan was thrust into the game, then yeah, that's the only way. But not because of quality.
Teague was hurt in that game, was he?
I'm pretty sure he was. I don't think they would have just given Mayan the ball over Teague. I'm pretty sure that Teague had some kind of injury. I think it was a concussion issue, if I remember right. So long ago. So many drinks ago. Anyway, my point is that let's keep an eye on that. I want to see how this order, this pecking order, kind of plays itself out over camp. I mean, I know we're only 4 days into camp or whatever, and today was check-in day at the hotel. But it'd be interesting to see how things go. And, Jeff, to your point, I definitely think that they might all get leapfrogged. Whether it's – might not be in camp – but it's going to be by like week 4, I bet, where Trevion is the go-to guy.
Yeah, I do agree with Sean that I don't think it's a surprise that Mayan has passed Teague. I think probably the potential, he finally showed enough potential last year maybe, and then he backed it up with what they say is a great offseason, turned around his whole body shape. I heard Ryan Day say, Mayan Williams is, you know, he's hard now. I heard him say those, I think, verbatim in a press conference.
Sounds aggressive.
So, I'm referring to his shape and how good a shape he's in. So, Teague is a good running back. I just think with his injuries, he kind of leveled off.
Oh.
And Mayan was able to show enough improvement through the spring.
Yeah, now, Master Teague was out for the Clemson game. He was out.
Yeah,
that's why Mayan.
Trey Henderson, the people that I listen to when it comes to recruiting, you know, the same people that you listen to, Joe, that you believe what they're saying, those people are saying this dude's special, like the special people they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sky's the limit for him. Good problem to have, like it mostly offense, depth and talent. Talented depth.
Depth and talent. Talent and depth. You can say it either way. Yeah, it means the same. I agree. Anything else you guys pick up on? Other than that, I agree. It was pretty quiet on the informational side. Cam Brown is back and healthy.
That's what I was trying to get to, Joe. Just from what everybody's reported that was able to watch, you know, practice. Cam Brown's, yeah, looks 100%. The other DBs are saying, oh yeah, he's back. Like he's back where he was. Amazing to me on a torn Achilles, second week of the season, you know, what, 10 and a half months later?
Right.
You know, well, we need him. We need him to hold up the other side. I was opposite of 7. So they can't just, you know.
Right.
If they try to throw away from 7, we need to have a guy there that, you know, just like we've had in the years past.
Yeah.
So we're going to be leaning on our back four or back five a lot, I think.
And again, not to harp on it, but a lot early because you got Minnesota, Oregon. I mean, coming out of the case, I mean, you're going to get tested. You better have that back end figured the fuck out real quick.
A senior quarterback first week on the road, and second week, probably the closest in talent, probably the team closest in talent wise to you.
Well, I would say we're going to be running a 4-3 defense against both of those guys because they're very physical. Minnesota has no wide receivers coming back. They're all gone. I know their quarterback's experienced, but they're going to try and run the ball on us. Same with Oregon. They're very physical. They're going to do the same shit. This is not the Oregon Chip Kelly team. So
Right. I understand. But I think Oregon's talent-wise, by roster, I think they got the second-best talent. You know, they got the best talent against us. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know how you can sit there and think that both those teams are going to run on us, try and run on us, when we had the 123rd worst fucking pass D in the country last year. They're going to absolutely sell out on the pass against us. That's my take.
That'd be the worst idea for Minnesota to try. They have a complete O-line coming back. Same with Oregon. They're physical. Oregon is not a pass happy team, I'm telling you.
But we still beat Minnesota at the line. I think they are going to try and, you know, they'll have guys that can make plays. They'll have some receivers. I mean, we made less receivers look like fucking All Americans. I'm officially
concerned. Drink alert.
Sean's rowing the boat. Sean's rowing the fucking alert. Boat. You got a rowboat or a canoe there?
I don't think they're going to be able to stop us, but I think they could score. You know, I don't want them scoring 30 on us either. I don't want to beat them 50-30. I want to beat them 50-13.
I agree with that.
You guys are both correct in this argument. Joe, both of those teams are better at, you know, the power run game, setting up the pass, but they both need to test our, you know, passing against our secondary would be a better option for them than trying to run. So we are, in both of those games, we're going to be stronger against the run, I think, than we are the pass. So, I mean, we do play into their strengths. Our strength is their strength. But if they were able to open up a passing game and get our young guys tested early, we could give up, you know, get into some high-scoring games. Not really be in danger, but, you know, get into like a 40, late, you know, high 40 to high 20 type ball game.
All right.
That could happen easily with either of those teams.
Right. Well, we took a left turn there. This is not the Predict the Scores podcast. That's next week. So let's get back on course here. We're going team wins.
I lost my show notes. Sorry.
Over and under. Yeah. Is that what you call that?
Syllabus.
All right. Yeah. So
the paper I ended up rolling up.
Yeah. Just because you burn it doesn't mean you understood it. We're going team wins, over-unders, top 10. We're going, you want to start at the bottom or start at the top of the top 10?
10 down.
10 down? And then after that, we'll do a few, I won't say relevant Big Ten teams, but notable. How about that? Infamous.
Potential challengers for our potential challengers for the title, right?
That's a stretch.
Well, somebody's gonna be there to play us. I mean, we're gonna have to beat people. So, yeah. I mean, nobody's giving it to us. These teams are all gonna be trying their fucking hardest.
They're, I'm just, you know, fucking around. All right, we're not trying to,
yeah,
you know, dice them up. So let's go.
I got you.
We're gonna go in order every prediction here. Who wants to go first? You guys want to flip a coin?
I flipped Sean. I picked tails.
Be my guest, Jeff.
I call tails.
Okay.
I can see.
Tails never fails. Jeff wins.
All right.
So, Cincinnati Bearcats. The over-under is 10. Jeff, you go first.
I'm going to go ahead and take the over with Cincinnati thinking 11 as their ceiling.
Oh, okay.
I think they get the over. I think Cincinnati plays for a league title that gets them to a 13th game.
If we have any discrepancies, like if you guys disagree or we all three disagree, we're going to go to the schedule and we'll go game by game.
Win, loss,
or if it's up in the air, we give them a half.
Okay.
Okay, so, Sean.
Perfect. Perfect tiebreaker.
Well, I didn't know much about this, but I just hopped on and looked at their schedule, and I'm thinking the under. It could very likely be a push, but I feel more comfortable with the under on that. They're at Indiana and at Notre Dame back to back.
Exactly.
That ain't good for them.
Yep. I agree 100%.
The rest of their schedule is probably. They should be able to handle it, but you never know. A UCF or a Navy sticks it in them. Who knows?
Ooh. They're known to do that at the old shipyard.
Swab juggies.
So Sean's going under. I'm going under as well. You guys need to debate this at all. This seems pretty obvious. Jeff, how did you arrive at the over? Just because Luke Fickell's the coach?
I am a Fickell fan.
You are a Fickell fan.
You're a Fickell bitch.
I'm expecting one of those two upsets at Indiana at Notre Dame.
Okay.
I think they split that, go through the conference, and maybe lose the conference title.
Interesting. Right now, Cincinnati is a 3.5 point underdog to Notre Dame.
Okay, it's 3.5 right now in August? Okay.
Yes. It's the only game I have spread on.
But that's not 7.5. You know what I mean? I'm guessing Indiana's at least that, if not under. I think I got Notre Dame ahead of Indiana as far as teams in the country. How much distance is there between Notre Dame and Indiana? We might find out here, right?
I can tell you where Phil Steele has them.
We might be talking about three top 10 teams by the time they all play each other.
Phil Steele has Notre Dame number 7 in his top 40. And
that's about their average over the last 10 years. I bet that's their average.
Yeah, and nobody's more overranked than Notre Dame.
But
I don't know what that means.
They're in the top 10 a lot. At the end of the year, they end up there a lot. You know?
You don't know what it means? I think Notre Dame, along with a certain team up here, get so much hype, and they're always, there's always so much excitement and hype, and I always feel like national media thinks, and like preseason-wise, gives them a higher ranking than what they deserve or are worth. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I do think they get overrated like that. Too high for what they might really be potential wise, but year in and year out, you look at the schedule. They play a real schedule. You know what I mean? Especially now with the. But anyways, let's not get on. Let's not talk about the Irish.
Right.
We don't need. So we spent enough time on Notre Dame.
My point was that Indiana, Phil Steele has ranked at 18 versus Notre Dame. He has 7. Yes.
Okay. So Cincinnati is probably a pick'em then. Cincinnati, Indiana, maybe.
I think
Cincinnati's got a quarterback, Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati, elite athlete quarterback. All right, does a lot of stuff. He's not Braxton Miller, but he's. You know, I mean, that type of quarterback. Can make outrageous plays, has a big arm. I think Fickell's got it. He's building it down there. For real. I mean, he's got a quarterback that can make plays in late in games. So that's why I give him a chance to make one of them upsets.
All right.
And I picture him running through the rest of the conference. I think he's ascending through that conference.
I'm on board with Sean, though, when he brought up UCF and Navy, especially at Navy. I could see those being the backbreaker, especially at a 10 wins. You got to win 10 games.
They can afford.
I'm leaning under. Let's move it on. We're spending way too much time on Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, yeah, mark it down. Are we keeping track of these?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah. All right, cool.
This is going to come back to haunt you.
Mark.
Iowa State.
So Sean?
Number 9.
Sean?
Ready? Iowa State, number 9, coming in at 9.5 wins. Oh, I forgot to give you the juice on Cincinnati after the fact. It was an even -115 on over and under. So no juice.
No juice, no squeeze. All right.
Anyway, so let's go Iowa State, 9.5. Jeff, you are first.
Oh, Sean hasn't won it, yeah?
What?
Is it Sean? Didn't Sean? Are we alternating or?
No, we already established the order.
All right,
you, Sean, then me.
9.5. I will take the over on 9.5 for Iowa State.
Wow.
And I'm thinking maybe 10-2.
The ball's on you.
I'm not saying I'm in on the Cyclones quite yet, but I like what they're doing out there in Ames.
Yeah.
No. Did that sound believable? I don't know. No.
Yeah, sure. You said over.
I'm taking the over. I'll take the over. But I don't think they really have any say in, you know, in the playoff scenario at all. But I'll take them over. I'll take them 10 wins or more. I'll take that.
All right.
I think he gets the 10 wins. And then he bolts. And he might take a job a little closer to Sean.
Ooh. Michigan State,
but
Western Michigan,
whatever's available over there. I think he'd like to get it started. I think that dude's one that would like to get it started over there.
Well, he isn't going to hit his mark. He's going under this year. Yeah. He's going to lose his second game. Iowa's going to surprise him.
There you go.
You know, that's the rivalry there, second game, and then you always got Texas and Oklahoma, which are probably going to beat him. And then, you know, take your pick, whether it's Oklahoma State or Texas Tech or some. They're going under 9. They probably win 9 games. Might win 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think Texas and Oklahoma are probably losses, and probably Iowa as well. I agree. Right down the road, Oklahoma State's no pushover. I'm going under as well. And the juice was squeezed over +110 under -140. So we are with Vegas on that one, Jeff.
Sweet.
What do you mean? Like? I'm under, just over.
I know.
Yeah, you guys got the 140.
We have the favorite. Next up, Florida. 9 wins over under. Another less than average season for Dan Mullins.
Mullen.
Jeff.
Nine. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. That's a tricky spot. I think he lands it. I think he lands 9. To be honest.
Have you seen maybe the schedule?
Or under, you know, probably under. Probably under, but
yeah. Now you say that, you cocksucker.
No, I'm just, you know, but he. But I think Florida can get the 9.
I'm going over.
What?
That's right. What?
You guys passing the same, Jay?
Okay, so we got three different picks.
Versus Bama and versus Georgia, they're both at home. You're probably still going to lose both of those, I'm guessing. But I don't know, even that Georgia game, I could see that. Who else are they going to lose to?
No, they're not. They're not beating Georgia. They're not. They're going to struggle with LSU, dude. At LSU,
LSU's trash.
I know they're trash, but it's at LSU, and Florida is not that great. Emory Jones is their fucking starting quarterback. Yeah, that guy. They're going to struggle. They'll be lucky to get 8 wins, in my opinion. I'm going hard under. You guys can go hard on each other over. And
it's 9, so what if you want to bet? I'm calling 9. I think get a hit 9.
You calling the push?
I'm calling a push. What's the bet on push?
You get nothing. Nathan. So
there you go.
So here's the juice. You guys are already marked down for over. Over 9 is -110. Under is -120.
See, it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel fucking
good. Okay.
You would.
You would.
If you do it right. All right, Texas A&M coming up next. We got them at 9.5.
Under. Under, under, under.
Okay. That's interesting. What makes you say that?
I don't think Jimbo's that good a coach. First of all.
I agree. Yeah.
Second of all, they have their defense. High level defense. Offensive line supposed to be, he says, more talented than their last one. And their last one was like, you know, a bunch of veteran guys, a bunch of darts, whatever. New quarterback, just like us and just like Bama and, you know, a lot of
Clemson,
teams.
Yeah.
But I don't think their pass defense was horrendous last year. Horrendous. I think they gave up a bunch of points. I think they're one of those teams that if you score 50, yeah, they might score 40, but if you can get 50, you win. And a lot of teams in the SEC can do that.
What's the over-under on A&M?
I say 9, and I say 8 or 9. You know, 8 and 4, 9 and 3.
So you're calling for the under?
Yeah.
9.5, Sean. What do you think?
I don't fucking like Jimbo at all.
Sidebar. I got the over on A&M. When they won last year, I just took a quick glance at their schedule. Again, other than the auto loss to Bama, this doesn't look like that daunting of a schedule.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sean. I'm going over as well. It's pretty fucking easy. Like you mentioned, they're guaranteed a loss versus Bama. I don't see them beating Auburn, South Carolina, Ole Miss. I mean, I don't see them losing to these teams.
They'll lose.
And then they go to LSU, last game of the year. That can be dicey just because of the environment. That's all.
Hey, what? You've been talking up LSU, Joe.
No, I'm not a fan of LSU. I don't think they're not even in the top 10, so we're not even getting to them. But I can discuss it if you'd like.
Well, it sounds like you got them at least 10.5.
No. I have Florida and LSU more equated, and probably A&M. I'd say A&M, LSU, and Florida are all very equal.
You'd be wrong.
Okay.
LSU is trash.
I know they are.
Florida will be decent.
Let's check out LSU just for shits and giggles here. They're at 8.5 on their season wins. The under is the hard, hard lean from Vegas. -130. Over is +100.
Plus 100?
Yeah.
All right.
That's well, an issue. But we're not. We're not.
Well, at least we're not going to talk about it.
Maybe we just did. So, anyway. So we're all going. Me and Sean are going over on Texas A&M. Jeff's going under.
Okay. Pretty steady theme here, trending.
I'm not trying to go against you, Jeff.
The trend is you two don't know shit.
Oh.
We can flip. I'm happy to go first. I don't give a shit.
All right.
I'm gonna come find you. I'm gonna come find you in Michigan.
You wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't. You're right. You're damn right. I wouldn't dare. Sean, you know better than you two need to come down here and find me.
You got your vaccine passport?
Oh.
Yeah. Jeez,
that's a problem.
Jesus. Yeah. We're going to have an issue at the gate. Extra security. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, but Sean, you need to come back down to your stomping grounds. That'd be cool. Anyways, back to the list, Joe. Back to the list.
Thank you.
Who you got next?
Notre Dame, 8.5 wins.
8.5 for that.
That sounds terrible. Oh.
They got a 9-win team, though. I think they got a 9-win schedule.
They do.
In my opinion. Because if you're not going to give me credit for Cincinnati, then what's, you know, but so Notre Dame can get credit for beating Cincinnati, you're going to take that as a quality win, though, right?
As long as Cincinnati holds in there. I'm looking at Notre Dame now. I got them. Okay, Wisconsin, that's going to be a tough one.
That's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to watching that game.
They're a dog right now. For sure. 3-point.
They should be.
You got USC and then UNC back-to-back.
That's what they're talking about USC. You know, they both got returning quarterbacks that are highly touted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Both of them are top 5 quarterback prospects. So they're supposed in preseason, there's supposed to be some hype around both teams.
Notre Dame, what is it, 9?
8.5.
Eight and a half. Nine will win you. 9-3, right? I'm thinking 9-3. Oh, yeah. I'll take the over.
Yeah, right now they're favored by a field goal over USC. They're favored by 2 over North Carolina. By 8 over Florida State. And then, of course, the dog to Wisconsin. And then 3.5 versus Cincy.
But, you know, these lines, once the season starts and games are being played, these lines don't really mean anything right now. They're going to change.
I know. But week we're, to week, we're so making our picks right now, so that's what matters.
But, yeah, as everybody's predicting, though, they're predicting a lot of close games.
So we're all going over, right?
Away. I think 9-3. Yeah, I think Brian Kelly's finishes the year 9-3. No conference championship game he has to worry about. Ends up in a bowl game. If he's not playing Ohio State, he's probably going to win. 10-3. Thanks for coming. Yeah. Top 9 in the country.
Good season. Good season by the Irish.
Another top 10, probably. You know, because he plays a hard schedule. He'll get credit for playing USC, and if Cincinnati wins, you know.
Enough to rip a couple more top 100 recruits out of Ohio, probably. That's how much he'll win.
That's what matters. We're gonna be in a. That's what matters.
Hey, we're another podcast, but Joe, we're in a battle for a big time kid. I know. You know what I'm talking about. Between us and Notre Dame. His brother's at Notre Dame now. Next year, yeah, Sonny Styles. Next year, man, that's a big time recruit to get. Yeah. It's another podcast, though.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to Georgia as we move our way up. What is Georgia? 5th? Yeah.
Oh.
5th. I got them ranked 5th right now at 10.5 wins. Did we switch order, or are you guys sticking with Jeff going first?
I'll be happy to go last and different from the rest of you.
Okay, Georgia opens up with Clemson. I don't love that for them. What's their number?
10.5.
10.5.
They're at Georgia, right? Georgia? Correct?
No, that's a neutral.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, Atlanta. Atlanta, the Chick-fil-A thing. All right, so they're on the turf.
I take it back. They're going over. This is Georgia's year. We're beating Georgia in the championship. Georgia's going to run this table. They're going to beat Clemson week one and run this bitch.
Hey, Joe, I don't think we need to do the rest of the board. I think Sean just called the season, so let's mark it down. Roll tape, cut it, and let's sign, seal, deliver that shit January, whatever, January 12th or whatever the fuck they're playing.
How do you see this
win it next year?
How do you say, all right, so you got Georgia at 10.5?
Yeah.
I'm over.
I don't know, man. Even with the, rule out the Clemson game. Just take that out of it. And so you're looking at, I think they got 9 other wins, regardless of the Clemson game. And then you got an SEC championship, most likely. You got to plan on that. But
well, this is regular season. We're not talking.
Yeah, no, that don't count.
Regular season.
Yeah, I've been going about this all wrong. The whole time. But I'll stay with my best. I'll stay with my best. Fuck it. It's cool. Mark it down. I go over. I'll go over. I'll say 11. I say they're 11 and 2.
Honestly, I'm leaning that way too. Looking at the schedule, they don't have Bama. Don't have LSU.
11-1 before the conference championship.
Sure. They don't have Bama. Like I said, I don't see them getting beat by any of these guys.
They just have to split between Clemson and Florida.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Okay. That's what it comes down to, I guess. Yeah.
UAB, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Auburn, at Auburn, Kentucky, Florida on a neutral, Missouri at Tennessee, Charleston Southern, and at Georgia Tech. This is easy schedule.
That game,
after Clemson.
It looks like it, but that game at Auburn, you know how that shit is down there in them games. That home team, that's a 3:30 kickoff leading into the nighttime, War Eagle, all that bullshit. I mean, that will be literally a dog fight.
Maybe. They got nobody tough before or after, and then they got a bye week before Florida.
That's SEC tailor made.
So I'll give you the juice on those. The over is -135. The under is +105. So we are in lockstep with the Vegasites.
They think there's stability at quarterback. I think that's what a lot of people's thought is. So they're expecting big things because what's held Georgia back?
Yeah. Well, they're Georgia, yeah, first they, of all. They haven't won a title since 85.
Oh, they haven't had the standout Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback, leading the team. In perception of the in media perception, probably, in just regular fans. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking now they have that. They think JT Daniels is the dude. I'm not sold on him completely. But I know Georgia's talent. I know talent wise they accumulate talent, mm-hmm, like anybody else, the best in the country, so they have talent. I think the schedule works out this year. The talent shows 11 wins.
All right, let's speed it up here. We're going to Oklahoma, over under 11. Getting over. Dicey. Running out of room here.
Over.
Okay. Jeff's got over.
I'm going under.
Who do they play?
In that Big 12, you're going under, huh?
That's an upset of the century, Sean.
They're going to lose to someone that they shouldn't. They got to lose to two people that they shouldn't. But they're going to.
They do. They usually one a year. They lose.
You thinking like Iowa State or something?
Iowa State.
Texas.
Oklahoma State. Texas. Those are all losable games. Yeah.
Hey, but you're talking about Iowa State as a top 10 team, so they're going to now. So they're going to say that's a worthy opponent. That's not considered a upset loss so much. I mean, they're probably going to be favored, but it's not going to be like a horrible loss if you lose to Iowa State if you got them fucking ranked 7th. You know what I mean?
Right. Right now, Oklahoma is a 7.5-point favorite against Iowa State.
Yeah, that'll be double digits when they play.
Bedlam right now is 11.5. Oklahoma. Texas game right now is 10. Oklahoma's a 10-point favorite.
They're going to fuck it up.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I feel the same about Oklahoma as I do Georgia. It seems like everything is laid out in front of them to easily run the table, and they fucking train wreck it right into a fucking mountain.
So where do you guys think they land? How far off am I?
Actually, I would take the push.
Yeah, me too. I'm going
11?
I'm going 11.
I don't think they're going to run it. But I don't really see them losing two either, so it's
yeah.
I'm kind of on the 11.
I think if I was at the window and it was time to fucking put the money down, you could definitely talk me into push. They don't go undefeated, but I don't know. They got a quarterback supposed to be special.
Yeah,
the quarterbacks that come through there, he has a track record. A lot of them turn out pretty good.
So where did we go here? Jeff, you went over or under?
11 wins. Yeah, I'll stay with my original. I'll say over.
Sean, you went under?
I
went under unless I can take the push. I think it's going to be the push. But
well, the push is going to hit on 11. No matter what you take the over or you take the under, and if they get 11, then it's a push.
Right, yeah, I'd take the under. Let them screw up two games. Texas is going to shock them this year.
All right, let's go to our favorite, the Ohio State University, sitting
over
11 as well. So you're calling for an undefeated season, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's either that or, if you drop the stupid game somewhere in there. But I don't see us losing two. No way. So, I mean, to me, it's either going to be 11 or 12. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think just from the betting perspective, you take the over. You're like, just like Sean just said, if we hit 11, it's a push. Take the over. Why? If you balk at that at all, why the under? Right. Somebody, you got to tell me why the under. We don't have an experienced quarterback. Okay, is that it?
Well, yeah, you got to pick out.
We have way more talent than everybody we're playing.
You need to show me two losses on this schedule, and
but exactly, that's the next thing. Like, okay, why would you take the under? Show me two, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, we have one of the easier schedules in the country this year. I'm talking like top 20, easy. We got Penn State, the one tough game coming into Columbus. We go to Michigan, that doesn't matter. Other than that, Oregon coming into Columbus, I believe we are 9.5 or a 10-point favorite right now. Let me check that.
I'm telling you, that back half of the schedule, I think it starts out a grinder. Minnesota, Oregon, that's a tough two games. Sure. Then you can coast for 4 weeks. But then you're at Indiana. They're no pushovers. They might be the second best team in the Big Ten this year.
True, yes.
At Iowa, Penn State, Nebraska's going to be trash. Purdue will surprise us and be better than we think. And then Sparty. Sparty and Michigan should both be trash, but you know they're going to play us. Half of Sparty's kids are from Ohio that didn't get offers, right. And Michigan, Harbaugh's trying to save his ass. So, I mean, that back six, that's going to be a tough stretch.
Well, here are the spreads we have this far. I've got five games with spreads already. Minnesota, we're favored by 14. Oregon, favored by 14. Indiana.
14?
Yeah. Indiana favored by 10.5. Penn State favored by 11.5. And then Michigan favored by 13. Expect that to be at least three touchdowns by the week of game. Just my opinion. Anything shocking there?
Well, it's a little shocking to me that it's closer with Indiana than it is with Oregon.
Again, it's difference in talent level, and Indiana's defense is probably a lot better. I mean, I know that Oregon has
Oregon's got the best defensive player in the country.
That's one dude. That's one dude.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
but it's also a home game at noon for a West Coast team coming in.
It's 9 a.m.
And a road game, you know, where this is going to be the Super Bowl for Indiana us coming in.
Yeah.
Is it at night? I mean, do we know game time yet?
Yeah.
Is Indiana? I'm sorry. I missed it. Okay. I missed right over it, sir. Well, I mean.
Indiana, we don't know.
Right.
No, yeah, the Indiana game. That's what I'm talking about. I know Oregon's new. I'm just saying.
Why does it matter?
There's a bit. You're talking about point spreads, right? Why the point spreads are kind of tight? Because we're home at a noon game for a West Coast team coming in playing at 9 a.m. their time. And then for Indiana, they probably think is equal to Oregon. We're going on the road to their place.
Okay, so yeah, it's a couple point swing.
Transitive property, this and that.
Ipso facto,
here to there,
we're going to beat both of them by 3 touchdowns. So,
more likely, yeah.
So the juice. Here's the juice. In case you want to know, the over is -120. The under is -110. So we sit on the right side of the juice. Clemson right now 11.5. Kind of surprising, in my opinion, but they do play in the garbage conference. Sean, over under 11.5.
I'm going under.
Ooh.
I'm going under.
Nice.
They're gonna lose to Georgia.
Yeah. And who else?
And South Carolina, Florida State. Oh. I'm looking through here. It doesn't look like they play Miami.
The heavy hitters, huh?
Right. Georgia Tech. That'll be tricky for them.
Yeah. Those cocks are slippery.
Syracuse gave them all they wanted last year.
Seems like it. Yeah. Right. In Boston College, you got Jeff Hafley up there.
And Syracuse, remember, Syracuse upset them the year Kelly Bryant got replaced by Tripp.
Was that 18?
They don't play Miami or North Carolina.
They'll play Miami in the championship game, most likely, or North Carolina.
They're favorite because I thought North Carolina was in Clemson's side. I don't know my ACC that well. To be honest, between the Coastal and the
study up, son.
Well, I know, but I think Miami's
money after week one. Georgia's beating these guys.
Okay,
I agree. I'm taking Georgia in that game.
I'll take the under. I'll take the under with Clemson.
At 11 Clemson's and a half, favored right that. Now, 3.5 or 3. Clemson's favored versus Georgia right now.
Clemson's got a better hyped quarterback, not more proven, but a more highly rated.
If fucking DJU goes down, they are fucked. They got a walk on backing him up, dude. They got no depth behind him.
Yeah, they have a quarterback that like a scholarship quarterback that like blew his knee out or his Achilles or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Their depth went to zero. That happened in spring, I think. But that dude, he's expected. They already got him marked down as the number one pick in the draft next year.
Yeah,
DJ. So a lot of hype there. I don't think they're about it. Their D line is filthy.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna be tough, but 11.5, that's a big number.
So you taking the under?
Yeah, I'm staying under for sure.
Yeah, me too. I'm going under as well. The juice is on +110 on the over, -140 on the under. So I think we're right in line there.
Perfect.
So everybody's favorite, Alabama. We are looking at another 11.5. Sean, what do you think?
I'm not going against Bama. Yeah.
Right.
It's like betting against New England. Right?
Exactly. I will take the over as well. They're going to have to prove to me that they're not good. That they're not that good, because I think they are.
Well, they do have a new quarterback, and the guy's not a big dude. Bryce Young, I'm not sold on him. I mean, I haven't seen him play at all, but he's kind of small. Isn't he like 5'11"?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Yeah, that's concerning. I realize he can run, but
how tall was what's his name?
Yeah, you know,
Tua. Tua wasn't very. Tua's 5'10" or something.
He's taller than that.
Tua was thick though. Tua's probably 5'11", 220. But yeah, the kid's small, Joe. You're right. But you know, Bama's gonna thicken him up a little bit. You know, beef him up a little bit. But he's as high of a rated quarterback as anybody that any of the rest of us have.
I got Tua at 6'1", 217. On NFL.com.
Oh, okay. Do you think that website is accurate, or do you think I'm trying to remember from the draft combine?
NFL.com not accurate.
Hey, how tall were you in our high school program?
I don't know.
Oh,
I never
you
read
didn't
it.
Have a say. You didn't have a say in what was listed. I mean, no, it said height and weight.
No.
See.
Why would you care?
Anyways.
All right, so we're all going over on Bama's schedule here?
I'm not betting against Bama.
LSU and Florida are like the only tough games. They don't have Georgia.
A&M. Watch the A&M game.
All right. Jimbo's going to beat him in golf?
You watch old Lane Kiffin drop some weight. He's going to be all ready to go against Saban.
Yeah, all right. Good. He can get after those.
First of all, you obviously, if anybody said, "Hey, do you want to bet on the Alabama?" I'm not betting on Alabama. I'm not betting against Nick Saban, so I would never bet on them. But for the sake of what we're doing, I'm not going to bet against them. You know what I mean?
Right.
I got
so here's the juice.
They have more track record than anybody.
Right, but here's the juice. This might blow your mind, and the over is plus 105. The under is minus 135. So Vegas knows something we don't.
They know it's hard as fuck to go undefeated.
Sure.
Repeated year after year after year. Lose NFL guys year after year after year.
All right. So let's talk about some Big Ten teams that we didn't really get into there.
FYI, Bryce Young is listed at 6'194" on Bama's ESPN roster.
Okay.
So he's probably 5'11", 185.
Yeah, probably. All right, so our favorite team to make fun of, Michigan, over-under 7.5. I should probably mention that I've already, I believe back in the spring, placed my bet for the under. So you can definitely know where I'm laying. What do you guys think, Sean?
I like the under for Michigan. I like it a lot.
Yeah. It's going to be a struggle.
I don't know. You know, I'm up here. I read things. I hear things. Harbaugh's invigorated this year. Blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
They got the quarterback situation all figured out now, and I think these guys up here, they think they got a team that's good enough to go 9-3. But I'm more of a 6-6, 7-5 type of guy on that team. If you look at their schedule, they got a grinder, and they're gonna get, they're like, they got us. I think they got us at home, but they're like at Wisconsin, at Penn State. I mean, they're going to be destroyed in a lot of places.
No, they come to Columbus.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. So the one bright spot for them.
They got Washington. They'll probably lose the second game against. To me, Michigan's whole season is going to basically revolve around that second week Washington game. If they get blown out, they're done. They'll lose seven games.
That's a pick 'em right now.
Is it?
And that's at Michigan, right?
Yeah,
at the Big House.
And the Wisconsin game.
That's going to be a big game. I mean, Washington's going to. I think that's going to be competitive.
9-point dogs to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, Northwestern has a good chance of beating them at MSU. Iowa, I think, beats them. Penn State, I think, beats them. Ohio State.
Does Michigan go out to Nebraska?
Yep.
I don't have it in front of me, sorry.
Yeah, they're at Nebraska.
Both coaches fighting for their lives.
I'll call an upset right now for the Huskers.
Ooh.
If it is considered an upset, I don't know, but I'll pick the Huskers in that game.
Okay.
That's one of the nails in the coffin for Harbaugh.
So we're all going under.
I say seven and five is that where they end up.
Okay. Yeah, that's
how they're set. They're 7-4 when they play us, 7-5.
Well, the juice right now is -150 over, +120 under. So
Harbaugh sold him on the soup. Harbaugh sold him.
So Penn State now over under is 9.
What do you think, Joe? Good right here.
State. Let's see. Let me take a quick at Wisconsin to open up. Yeesh.
Yeah.
That ain't good.
Then
Auburn.
Yeesh. Oof.
I don't like it for Penn State. Even though I'm
they Auburn at home. Auburn's at home. Right. And a whiteout?
Yeah.
Yeah, but guys,
Auburn's never seen no shit like that.
But then they got their crossovers are a bitch. They got Wisconsin and Iowa. The Indiana game will be tough. At Iowa's a bitch. Illinois, okay, that's a gimme. At Ohio State, that's unwinnable. Michigan.
It's true. He's not lying.
They got it. That's a schedule right there. The way you just laid out, that's a tough ass schedule.
Yeah, I don't know that.
You're out of conference. It's fucking Auburn.
Let me lay this out for you though. There are 7 points.
Your first game's at Camp Randall. It's like okay.
Yeah. First. You're going at Wisconsin, home to Auburn. That 9 wins?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, they're 4.5 point dogs at Wisconsin. 7-point favorites at home with Auburn. Then 11.5 dogs to the Buckeyes. And then 8-point favorites to Michigan.
They should be. They got a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent over there.
So we're all calling for the under. Okay.
I'm gonna go under. That schedule looks sounds
guaranteed bad. 2 losses, so they only gotta go 1 more. Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta go under.
The juice is
I could see 8-4. I could really see 8-4.
+100 for the over and -130 for the under. Interesting.
Okay.
But everybody's calling Penn State like the surprise team of the year and shit, which is interesting to me.
All I know, Joe, is the guy they got playing quarterback. He's the guy that's been playing quarterback. We're good.
Oh yeah, I'm well aware. So Wisconsin over under 9.5. This one's tricky for me.
I could see him 10-2. I'm thinking 10-2 for Wisconsin. I'm going over because that's I just picture Wisconsin landing at 10-2.
9.5. The Badgers, they do got Notre Dame. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. I got them at 10-2 as well. And this could be a season if they can beat Notre Dame, they could be 11-1 easy. Yeah, I got the over for the Badgers.
Okay. They got a 3-point favorite versus Notre Dame, a 9-point favorite versus Michigan, and then a 4.5-point favorite to Penn State.
That is three of their first four games. I mean, that starts out looking tough.
Yeah, we just talked about Penn State's rough start with Wisconsin involved. Now you're looking at Wisconsin, you're like, okay, right. I see your start, and I raise you this.
Yeah, right? Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan. I mean, can you imagine in the 80s if someone did that to you? That would be like, what the fuck, man?
Hey, what do you think I did to you, man? What do you guys be calling up the athletic directors, be calling each other up? Hey, bro, it wasn't me, bro. how the fuck did I get this guy?
So
obviously, we'll know a lot about them, by October.
Oh, their juice. We'll know where that's going. Their juice is even. It's -115 over and under. So, go nuts. Indiana over under 8 wins.
Wow. They got him at 8.
Maybe Indiana's been kind of exposed or found out. And they got a touchdown schedule.
Sorry, Joe. I would have thought you were going to say 8.5 for them. I thought Vegas would have had them a little bit higher. But like you said, maybe they're seeing through the smoke and mirrors, so to speak. 8.5? Or no, 8. 8. No, I see them at 8-4. I see them at 8-4. Third in the East.
Okay, so
Penn State second. You know, High State, Penn State, Indiana. Boom.
These are my sweethearts.
Maybe 9-3. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm going the over. I mean, they got a couple tough games to start out with as well. Man, they're really making it tough on the Big Ten. They start out at Iowa. That sucks.
Yeah.
First game. And then they got Cincinnati for an out of conference, which obviously is no pushover. What'd you say? It's 8-8
even.
8 even. I'm still going to go the over. I think Indiana's going to finish second on our side. I think they're going to be the sleeper, and I think they're going to run through most people except Ohio State. Heinicke's junior, yeah. Baby.
You see what they did in, like, league-wide this week. Like, this is probably all figured out years ago as far as lining the schedule up. But look at how many marquee league games they're putting on. They're trying to gain attention opening week against the showcase games and shit. I think it's a smart move by the Big Ten because people are going to start looking. You got Penn State. Everybody's firing off against everybody the first weekend. So I think it's going to be good for the league, hopefully, like, getting momentum and hype. If hopefully the games are good, you know, on Fox, and then we get some hype going about the Big Ten, and we don't have to worry about the flooding of SEC that we're gonna hear for sure. So maybe we can hold it off for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm going over for Indiana. I don't know.
Where do you see them? 9-3, 10-2. See a 10-2 they can pull out.
I don't know. No.
10-2 will be tough, but 9-3 is in the wheelhouse. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm giving them. They're going to split versus Iowa and Cincinnati. They're going to win one of those. They're going to lose one of those.
I
give them one loss.
I got three definite losses here.
All right, Joey the Greek, lay out your three losses. I got three losses guaranteed. Let me lay them out for you. Go ahead.
Iowa's a loss because it's at Iowa.
And that place sucks.
At Penn State is a loss. And then Ohio State coming to town is a loss. The flip of the coin comes in when you talk about
9-3.
Like Cincy and Michigan.
8-4, it depends possibly 7-5.
What kind of Michigan team you're facing in November. Has this team quit yet? Or are they still engaged? I'm leaning quit. Just by what we've seen, I'm leaning quit Michigan is easy to roll. But Cincinnati early on, that's dicey, even at home. That's going to be a grind them out close ball game, like a 3-point game.
Uh-huh.
They're coming into they're coming into, or we're going into Indiana. They're going to be undefeated, ranked 6.
Well, right now we're 10.5-point favorite. Iowa right now is a 4.5-point favorite against Indiana, week one. That's with home field advantage, so it's almost an even, because nowadays they give college teams like 4 points for home field. Some 5.
Really?
Yeah. So, no longer, and we were looking, NFL is still maybe a field goal, but college is definitely increased.
So we were looking at a Cincinnati Notre Dame game was 3.5 points.
Yeah.
Right?
I believe so, yeah.
So in 30, so 3.5 is pretty much like a pick'em.
Exactly.
Yes.
Same here.
Indiana's going to have to get around that Cincinnati team too. You laid it out, Joe. It potentially 7-5, but I'm thinking 8-4. So I think they.
Yeah. I'm going under.
I think they get tripped up 4 times.
I'm going under because last year they surprised everybody because they brought, you know, the kitchen sink on every fucking play. Against us, they blitz like 85% of the time, which you can't do.
They've been trending in the right direction the past few years. Get off their back, man. Indiana's for real.
They need to do it 2 years in a row, then, for me to even consider them a respectable power.
But, yeah, history would tell you they're going to be 6-6. Yeah.
You see how I look at the numbers. You got to trust Vegas. Vegas knows what the fuck they're doing. That's how they've made. You know, that's how they do what they do. You know, Vegas has them what? You know, what's, you know, almost a double digit, not 8.5 or 9.5, 10.5 points.
What? It's an 8.
High State Indiana.
Oh, 10.5 Buckeyes. Yeah.
10.5. Yeah. So I mean, they think we're double right digits now. Better. So.
But that's just one game. I mean.
The games have been played.
Yeah, right. And the juice right now has Indiana at +125 on the over, -155 on the under. So a heavy lean on the under.
Yeah. 8-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going under. Sean, you still sticking on the over?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Out there on the island, aren't you? Out there on the island.
Well, I don't think you had them on the list, but you gotta do my little other local favorites up here. What's Sparty's number?
I'll do you. Sparty team wins.
I'm your Huckleberry.
4.5.
Michi.
You say 4.5, Sean?
You're close. 5. Seriously.
5. I wouldn't go near a 5-win over under. I have no idea which way to go on that. Rutgers is improved. Maryland's improved. Rutgers is improved. Michigan has talent. Penn State has talent. Indiana's good. We're a loss. Michigan, you know,
Northwestern, who always beats them, it seems like. So that's a loss. They go at Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, I was hoping you said Miami of Ohio, but you didn't. That's 0-2.
They do play Youngstown State.
It could be 0-3, potentially. Oh my God!
Rutgers will give them fits. They definitely lost it. Indiana, Michigan. After that, Michigan's going to beat them. Mm-hmm. I just know it. Purdue probably beats them.
I'll say games like, you know, Rutgers, it's going to be a coin flip right now. Maryland, a coin flip. Purdue, coin flip. So those games, none of those teams, they're all kind of equal in their own way. Those are anything goes. Home teams.
I'm going to repeat myself. A Michigan team that has quit in late October. It could be a coin flip.
Yeah, I would put Michigan in a coin flip game against Michigan State.
But if they're engaged, not a ball game.
No, there shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, but it hasn't. It shouldn't have been years ago when Michigan, all I had to do was catch a ball and punt it, and they didn't do that, and they lost the game.
It's fumbled by
one of my most favorite moments of all time. But they had way more talent.
Jalen Watts Jackson.
They should have never been close in that game. So, Michigan State's going to have pretty much a couple guaranteed losses and a whole bunch of coin flips. So you say five games? Fuck it. I'll say over. Let's go 6-6.
Okay, the juice is minus one.
It's under. It's under. I know they're going the wrong way.
The juice is minus 120 over, minus 110 under. Jeff is on the juice.
I wouldn't put more than 50 down on that. I wouldn't. That's not getting a bet.
Me neither.
At Northwestern, they lose. They beat Youngstown. They lose to Miami. Win to Nebraska. There's two. Was that Western Kentucky? Three. Yeah. Rutgers. All right, I give them Rutgers four. I see.
Sean's going down.
Their schedule is tough to look at.
I'm going to stay with the under just because I think it'll be five, like Vegas says, but I think there's a better chance of them winning four than winning six.
I hear you, Sean. I can't argue with that.
So we're
good. You got to give the win total. You got to get them with a point with a half. It just makes it easier to go. So, yeah, I think they might get 11 wins, you know. Yeah.
You're going over, Jeff?
Yeah, I went over. I said 6-6.
Okay. Sean, you went under?
Yep. All
right. I'm just banking on that maybe them winning a couple of coin flip games. Because Purdue's not going to be, shouldn't be superior to anybody in the conference. I don't know who else Michigan State has cross conference, but yeah, 6-6. They beat one of three: Michigan, Maryland, Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. All right, that'll do it for our team over under win totals. Coming up, our next shows we're gonna do the Buckeye offense too deep, Buckeye defense too deep, and we're gonna do predict the scores for every Ohio State regular season game. And what? For the games we do, we do this every year, Jeff. 6 years in a row. We're doing early game spreads for the ones that we have access to. We'll kind of have an idea on those. But, yeah,
predict the scores every game.
Do you need me to go back and tell you where you were wrong last year? I can find that.
Well, I was never wrong. It might take you a little while, but.
Yeah. maybe 2 minutes. You got a stopwatch? But, anyways. Great show, guys.
Thank you, as always, folks, for joining us. As always, hit the supply store, BuckeyeCast.com.
And subscribe, rate, review, all the good shit. And we appreciate all you guys listening. We will see you next week.